Lighthouse Church presents the following message by Pastor Jason Holloman.
And then let's read our passage today, and then let's pray for our time in service. Our passage today is John 14, John 14 beginning in verse 25. John 14 beginning in verse 25. If you have your Bible, follow along with me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all these things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Verse 27, our passage for today. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Verse 29, and now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me. And then our last verse, verse 31. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this season of Advent, and of all the qualities, love, hope, joy, today, peace, it is so clear that what feels so unobtainable is peace. Cultural peace, national peace, global peace, peace of the inner person, of all the things that feel fleeting, peace certainly is among the top. And so we ask in the name of Jesus that you would help us reconcile your word that has an apparent contradiction in it. Did Jesus come to bring peace? If so, why is everything so chaotic? If Jesus came to bring peace, why is it that so many of us who are in church, right, are without it? If Jesus came to bring peace, then why even is his church so divided? So, Father, would you help us today as we tackle this idea, these apparent contradictions, and then that we help us today to answer the question, which is how in the world did he bring peace, and what does it mean that he did? And so, Father, we thank you for this Advent season. We do. We thank you for this Advent season. It is the most wonderful time of the year, the culture says. And then for us, so many of us say, yeah, for some people, we would pray that we would, in this season, that we would acknowledge the weight of the season, the significance of the season, and the desire for your Spirit to do a work of peace in us in this season. We pray this and we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus says in verse 27 of John 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Now, if you're a student of the Bible, you're going to be asking a question about right now. You're going to be asking this question. Okay, so he brought peace. Great, got it. Yeah, but didn't he also say that he came to bring the sword and that he's not bringing peace? Didn't he say that? Do you know that he says that? So maybe I'm building within you a contradiction that doesn't exist, right? So, which is never a good thing, but I do. I want to build this idea within you. In fact, if you will, turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. This is an important contradiction because apparent contradiction, because this is one of the first things that non-believers will say to you. If you say, hey, Merry Christmas, enjoy the Advent season, he's our Prince of Peace, they'll say, really? The church is a peaceful place? Or they'll say, really? Like, look at how divided everything. And didn't Jesus say that he came to, like, set brother against sister and sister against mother? Didn't he say that? And that's what we're going to read. In fact, if you look at Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 34, this is under the context of persecution. Now, I'm not going to tell you that the we're going to, in a contextual way, get our way out of what Jesus says here, because what he says is very plain about peace. But he says this, do not think that I have come to bring peace on the earth. Wait, what in the world? We just read that that's what he does. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have come to bring I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set man against his father, and daughter against her mother, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves the son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What do we do with this contradiction? In our passage today, in John 14, verse 27, I'll read it again. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world do I give to you. And the secret to unlock this idea and the secret to this apparent contradiction is in the Advent. See, this is one of the most difficult concepts for most folks, because most folks don't realize that we really are between two different Advents. We celebrate the first Advent. That's what we're celebrating. And what does Advent mean? It just simply means the coming, right? And so we are celebrating the first coming of Jesus. And that is when he was sent, when he was born a child, sent as a son, and we celebrate that. And that has been prophesied in Isaiah. In fact, if you will, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9, and we'll, as we kind of enter into this idea of these being between these two Advents. Isaiah chapter 9, beginning in verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's the first Advent. This is a prophecy of the first Advent. And if you come Christmas Eve, we'll be reading the story of Jesus being sent into the world, being born of a Virgin Mary. That's the first Advent. Now, what did Jesus come to accomplish in the first Advent? Why did God the Father send him? Did he send Jesus the first time so that we would have peace on the earth? No, that is not why Jesus was sent the first time. This is a critical distinction. The first Advent was specifically for the peace that was necessary for the war between sinful man and a holy God. That's the first Advent. Why was Jesus sent the first time? Because men needed a savior. Women needed a savior. And the peace that is represented and brought here is between the reconciliation necessary between a sinful man and God. So when you say, okay, well, where's the peace? He's the Prince of Peace. Where's the peace? I was like, oh, I'll tell you where it is. It's in the hearts of men and women who believe and confess Jesus Christ as Lord. That's where it is. And I tell you right now, there's not a whole lot of peace anywhere else. No, seriously, there's really not a whole lot of peace. I mean, I'm sitting yesterday at our family get-together, and everybody's got all these tables, and when the Hollimans show up, we show up in the dozens, right? The baker's dozens. So there's about 100 of us there, and we're all talking, and I was just listening to the conversations of my uncle and my aunt just had a hip replacement, and my uncle said, man, can you believe this? The insurance company, this and this. And everything just feels like war. I couldn't even get her out of the hospital until I had to give them $50,000 in cash. And I was like, you carried $50,000 in cash? He's like, no, I swiped my card, but you get my point, you know? And literally, I just thought, man, that's an interesting hospital, right? Like, that's scary. And he's like, everything just feels like war. It's like every time I turn around, you know, he's in construction. So I turn around and there's war here. I turn around, I get my wife out of the hospital. There's war and there's just no peace anywhere. And he's like, seriously, the Christmas season is supposed to be a peaceful season. No, it's not. Is Christmas peaceful for you? I guess there's a follow-up question. Do you have children? Or pets? Or neighbors? Do you have an HOA? Right? Like, hear me. You got to hear me. Like, seriously. Like, the Christmas season isn't peaceful. It's not peaceful at all. There is no peace anywhere. Except in the hearts of believing men and women. Why? Why? Because the Holy Spirit resides there. Now you might say, ah, but the church, they're always fighting and all the church splits and this and that. And it's like, yeah, but we're talking about church. You assume that everybody that's in church is a Christian. Have you been in church long? I'm not kidding. Like, listen, if there's anything that I believe, and I don't say this with joy, I don't say this in jest, I don't say this like gloating. If you really want to see some religious, unpeaceful people hang out in churches for a little bit, man, there's some wicked stuff that goes on up in there. I am quite certain that there's a large contingency of the church that is simply religious, void of Jesus, therefore unsaved. I don't say that gloatingly. I don't say that happily. I mean, even in here, though we are a very peaceable church, one of the prayers I always pray is like, oh God in heaven, would you please just reveal those who are not believers to themselves so they can repent and believe and confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And one of the ways we know is that no peace remains in that religious person. It's a hard thing to hear. I'm not saying that anxiety, no, I mean, people walk in anxiety all the time. I'm not saying that there's this. No, people walk in despondency and all the time. Like, those things are normal to the human condition. What I'm saying is that what is primary to the person is just a lack of peace. Because this passage says that Jesus leaves it. The context is, what is it that he's leaving? He's leaving the residence of the Spirit with them. And that is what brings peace. Now, you might be saying, okay, well, that's the first advent. Then what's the second advent? Well, the second advent is when everything else finds its peace. Creation finds its peace. The lion and the lamb lay down together. Literally, instead of house cats, we could have house lions. Why? Because we're at peace. Don't do that today. They will kill you. Right? I mean, like, that's when you could have a very, very, very large anaconda snake as a pet and not worry about being eaten. Sounds amazing, doesn't it? Not so much? Yeah. I'll work on my illustration of peace in the eschaton. I'll work on that later. Thank you. For those of you watching at home, we have a heckler. It's fine. We're praying for her. It happens to be a part of our worship team. We're working on it. I'm just kidding. No, I mean, but that's the issue. Like, we don't have any peace. We don't have any peace unless the Prince of Peace, the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace, settles our hearts. The second advent, when Jesus returns for his church, that's when wars cease. When Jesus returns to his church, that's when nations no longer fight for lines of demarcation. When the Son returns again, the second advent happens. That's when our cells will no longer fight against ourselves. Like even now, so when Jesus comes to save, he doesn't save our bodies and cells. He doesn't save us like that. He will one day save us like that. But no, the first advent is reconciliation between sinful man and holy God. This is why the Christian can literally be in the midst of total chaos and be within themselves peaceful. Listen, I have the distinct privilege of spending time with so many people in such difficult circumstances where I can literally enter a hospital, of which I was in much this week. I can enter a hospital and you can walk past rooms and get a sense for if their room is peaceable or not. And listen, I'm not talking about the easy stuff. You can walk through oncology floors in hospitals where children are running everywhere and you could walk past people and just get a sense they're believers. You can just sense it. It doesn't mean their diagnosis is any easier. It doesn't mean that what they have coming for them is going to be any lighter. No, you just walk past them and get a sense and say, man, the peace of Christ, that is to say the Spirit of the living God, is in those people. You can sense it. And then you can walk past what feels like a splinter in the middle of a finger and people lose their minds. I'm not talking about pain in themselves. I can't believe the splinter in my finger. I can't believe what this is going to cost me. How am I ever going to be able to count money that I'm going to spend on myself because I have a splinter in the middle of my finger? Right? Just all about themselves. Me, 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 me. No peace anywhere. No peace anywhere. Let's read our passage again. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you. Well, how does the world give peace? How does the world give peace? Man, distraction, right? We can numb ourselves. Like, the world has gotten so good at numbing itself, hasn't it? I mean, everywhere you look, there is just ample opportunity for distraction. And I'm talking distraction on a level that is so dialed in, it is the perfect distraction. It used to be that, like, you wanted to, like, be distracted by TV. It used to be that you had to, like, walk up to the, you had to get up and turn the channel. Do you remember this? I know this because that's what I was literally the human remote. My dad would be like, hey, switch this channel. And I'd get up, click, click, click right there. No, stay there. Turn it backwards. Click, click. I mean, I remember standing there. I mean, I stood there so long, my arm would turn numb. But it used to be just a few channels. And we'd be like, I guess this will do. Now, it's been said that there is more television that a person, there is more media that can be consumed instantaneously than a person could watch the remainder of their life if all they did was consume entertainment. What does that say? It says that the world has created a situation where we can dial in so perfectly the distraction we want. Do you see where it is? So we don't have peace in our hearts, and so we distract ourselves. Why? Because we don't want to deal with that. Inner peace, we don't want to deal with that. That's just distraction. Let alone numbing ourselves with all the different pleasures of the age that easily allow us to numb ourselves. So what is the peace that the world gives? The world gives distraction. The world gives numbing agents. The world tells you that it's really not so bad. And I think that's one of the worst things that the world says. It's going to be fine. It's not so bad. Yeah, but what's the solution? Just don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. No, there is no peace. That's why we can say, as believers, it is the most wonderful time of the year for believing Christians. Why? Because we are reconciled to a holy God. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah, is our nation at war? Yes. Are we at war with one another, though we are intended to live in peace with one another? Yes. So then what is it that Jesus says when he says, I didn't come to bring peace, but the sword? Well, what he's saying there is this, that peace with God will absolutely divide the closest of relationships. This is a really hard thing to hear. So when God changes the heart of a man or a woman, when God does that, he does it in such a way that the sword divides perfectly in that. Now, I used to think that there were not things that could divide super localized communities. You know, you might say, hey, we think differently than, you know, Californians, right? Or we think differently, I'm just kidding. We think differently, you know, than Texans or those from Austin. We think differently than some of these people, right? We can say those things. I used to think that, no, but, you know, but as Texans and as, you know, Dallasites, you know, I'm seven generations Dallas. I'll be, you know, connected with my guys, right? I used to not think that there was something that could divide so tightly until COVID hit. I used to think that the church wouldn't be divided so easily. Now, listen, please hear me. I know even using this illustration is going to offend just by saying it. And I'm trying to communicate the point that there are things that can divide us so easily. But whether or not to wear masks or not wear masks, whether or not to be vaccinated or not be vaccinated, friends, this room would divide unbelievably. Like, if we were just to say, and we would never do this because it would be so so difficult and hard for everybody, because everybody would immediately hate everybody, right? Which is why it's wonderful. Hey, guys, by the way, Merry Christmas. Like, I'm so glad you're here. Like, I'm glad you came to church. We want to come to a church to hear a feel-good message. You have vaccinated one or not, right? Yeah, it's like, oh my goodness. We're very, very into a seeker-sensitive church here, clearly. But listen, if I was to divide the room, I would say, hey, who's a mask wearer? Please don't raise your hands, seriously. Who's a mask wearer? Who's not a mask wearer? Who's vaccinated? Who's not vaccinated? Immediately. And it would be passionately, passionately believed. When the Bible says in Matthew 10, When Jesus says, I did not come to bring peace, but the sword. What does a sword do? The sword divides. A sword cuts. A sword literally pulls apart something that at one time was together. And his first advent divides sharply. There are those that are leaving father, mother, brother, sister, father-in-law, mother-in-law because of the sake of the gospel. Why? Because you are never the same. When you go from an enemy of God to a friend of God, you might say, oh, enemy of God, seriously? Yes. Default setting is enmity before God. Default setting is war with God. There is no, hey, I grew up in a Christian home. That doesn't exist. Listen, this is so important. Like, my children are growing up in a Christian home. I love it. I wouldn't have it any differently. Unless my children believe in faith, they are at war with God. And they could give you all the verses. They've been at church their whole lives. There's never been a moment that they've not been around mom and dad's faith. And I'm here to tell you that no, default setting is war with God. Even if you're a good churchgoer, default setting, war with God. Even if you do really good things, like even in this time of the year, you give a bunch of money. Awesome. Default setting, war with God. Until what? Peace. I leave you, not as the world leaves you. And Jesus here says, but the Helper, verse 26, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he, the Spirit, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. So why can we in this season celebrate peace when everything feels like war and chaos? Well, for the Christian, because we have peace with God. And the Christian will have eternity where all the other areas of war and chaos will be settled and satisfied. So that's why there's this, what feels like a contradiction. So when he says, when he talks about peace, I promise you this, it is not peace like the world gives. This is one of my, probably one of the most sacred experiences is being with a family as a member, a beloved member of the family is passing. Whether I'm there because of just random circumstances or I'm called in because whatever, but it's one of those moments, and I don't know if you have had the experience, certainly many of you have, like in your own families. I, for whatever reason, have had that, the privilege of that experience multiple dozen times where it's just like, okay, somebody is passing, let's pray, let's sing, let's, right? And when those moments are children in particular, they are of just such weighty, it's just a level of sacred that's just hard to describe. It's really hard to describe. And I've been in those situations, friends, with non-believers, because whether they're neighbors or whatever it is, and there's just chaos. It's just total chaos. It's the kind of chaos that's hard for your mind to not remember the level of chaos. And then there are those that have the Spirit and have the resident Spirit and who believe and have received the peace of Jesus. And even in the darkest hours where you are burying a child, to see mom and dad exist in such peace is remarkable. It is so different. It's as different as being at war with God and being at peace with God. Now, all of us want peace, don't we? We want peace, right? We want peace. Hey, can I just get some peace and quiet? I've probably said that 1,000 times yesterday. Yesterday. Can I just get, wait for it. That's right, kids, peace and quiet. And as I was saying it, I don't know really what I was trying to communicate. I think what I was trying to communicate is like, please leave me alone, right? But like in a more like loving dad pastor way, you know? And that's what we want. We want peace and quiet, peace and quiet. And then at the very end of it all, we just want to rest in peace, if you know what I mean. Right? That's all we want. We want it. We want peace. We don't get it. We're not going to get it. I will tell you now, and this is going to be hope for some, it's going to be harsh reality of others. You will not experience external peace until the second advent of Jesus, if you are in Christ. It's just not going to happen. There'll be wars. There'll be rumors of war. In fact, if you study any history at all, you'll know that there's really never been a period of peace. I mean, some say in the last 3,600 years, there have been a total of 300 years. I'm not even sure that that's true. But there's just this point that the world will continue to be at war with itself, and the nation will be at war with itself, and we will be at war with others. But I'm here to say that it is possible to be in the midst of the most chaotic storm and in the inner person be a person of peace. It's also possible that you be in a place all by yourself, a beautiful place, and be unbelievably in chaos inside of yourself. Yesterday, as we were driving to this family outing, and I was screaming with all of my children in the car, "Would you just give me some peace and quiet?" And we were driving, because then we had to get out and pretend like we were a perfect family, so it's very exhausting. And so, you know, you've been there a lot this week, too. And so as I was driving, we were driving through Dallas, and we got stuck behind a wreck that we sat there for about 40 minutes. It was wonderful. But as we were sitting there, my kids were looking over the underpass, or over the overpass, at a homeless colony of just tents everywhere. And as we'd pull up just a little bit further, there was just these others. And one of my children looked and saw this man sitting there reading a book, homeless man, in what looked like this beautiful, like little, I don't know, this little nook of a forest underneath the overpass and away from everybody else. And later, one of my children was like, "Hey, he looks so peaceful. That guy just looks so peaceful, right? Reading this book," and kind of like, "Hey, homelessness might be awesome, right?" And it's like I need to stop driving through Dallas. It's making my parenting very difficult. And right as he was saying that, this guy stood up and just started clearly having some kind of episodic event within himself. He was just talking to himself and very, very chaotic, right in the perfect moment. And what I said to my son, and what is wonderful for us to hear, and that is that your circumstances and the surrounding circumstances do not affect the inner man's peace, the inner woman's peace. This guy was in a beautiful park-like setting reading a book by himself. And the war within himself shot right back out. So many of us are striving to find the place, striving to ignore through media. So many of us are using substances to try to settle. And I'm here to tell you that there is a singular answer to the chaos then. And I'll read it again. "Peace I leave with you." The words of Jesus. "My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives it do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And so we can celebrate as we enter our time of receiving the Lord's Supper. We can celebrate what Isaiah celebrates in his prophecy. He is a wonderful counselor. He is the Prince of Peace. So if that's not true of you, I'm sincere here. If that's not true of you, I don't care if you've been in church your whole life. If that's not true of you, I don't care if you know all the Bible stories. If that's not true of you, I don't care if that would be embarrassing to finally admit for the first time. But if this is not true of you, if you have not experienced this level of peace, I think you have to ask yourself, do I know Jesus in a way that has settled with the indwelling spirit? It's a hard question to ask, but it's the right question to ask. So as we enter our time of the Lord's Supper, let's remember and celebrate what he's done in our hearts. Church, let's pray as you gather your elements. Let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you that once again on the Lord's Day, we can gather together and partake and receive the Lord's Supper. So grateful that this is the Lord's Day. It begins the week. And so one more week, you've not returned for your church. We're celebrating First Advent. It's really fun. We're waiting for Second Advent. We're waiting for you to return for your church, Jesus. And you didn't this week. And so we gather together, we celebrate, and we're grateful to be able to do so. But we long for you to make all things right and all things at peace, so that it goes from just peace to actual shalom. So, Father, we just thank you, and may we celebrate the broken body and shed blood. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Church, on the night that Jesus was to be betrayed, and this is recorded in Matthew, in Matthew's gospel, also in Luke's gospel, but on the night that Jesus was to be betrayed, Jesus takes the elements, and he takes the bread, he takes the wine, and so we do this each week so that it reminds us, it kind of focuses our hearts back to what is that of which of most importance. And so all the most important things we as a church try to put before us each week as reminders and as encouragement. And so God's word, singing praises, fellowship among the saints, this is what the church does. And so this week, Jesus did not return, and so we celebrate again. And he takes the bread with his disciples, and he breaks the bread, and he tells them, "This is my body broken for you." Now remember, his disciples would have been a bit confused about this. They would have looked at him and said, "Okay, got it? Okay." But as disciples 2,000 years later, we look backwards and totally, completely see what Jesus was doing in the institution of that Seder meal. And so in remembrance of that, he says, "Take my body." Church, let us remember the broken body of Jesus. And in like manner, Jesus takes the cup, and he passes it among his disciples. And it is so wonderful that we don't have to slaughter bulls. We don't have to take animals to be sacrificed. It's so fantastic that we don't have to do that. Again, the book of Hebrews says that God is no longer taking blood sacrifice. There is no need any longer to shed blood. Why? Because of what Jesus says. He says, "This is the cup of the new covenant." It's new. Well, how is it new? Jesus alone is satisfaction for the wrath of God. Praise God. And so we celebrate that by this. We say, "Thank you, God, for the cup of the new covenant in his blood." Church, let us remember the shed blood of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. Your word is a light unto our feet. We thank you that we have so many reasons to ask the why question. Why does this happen? Why does this happen? Why is this? Why is that? Would you help us to stop asking why, knowing that there are sinful hearts and we're in an age of war? Would you help us to ask the who question? Who is it that brings me peace? Who is it that seals me until you make all things new, all things right? And so in this Advent season, we do celebrate. You are the Prince of Peace. Praise God. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message. For more information, visit our website at lighthousentx.com.